Emily Kaplan, I hear Utah is lovely this time of year.
We'll be finding that out soon, I think, Clinton. What are you trying to allude to?
I find it very odd that a team would announce it's moving in the middle of a season and basically just tell a bunch of guys in a locker room. How does that happen with the NHL and a franchise like the Coyotes, who have just seemed to be all over the place for the last 5 years?
5 years, Clinton. This has been like a decades-long saga. And just to catch up some of our listeners who might be confused here, the parallel story going on in the NHL right now, besides the playoffs, is that finally the NHL has come to a solution with the Arizona Coyotes. They haven't been able to find a permanent home, and they are facilitating a sale to Ryan and Ashley Smith, the owners of the Utah Jazz, and the Salt Lake City market should have a team starting next season, which is just crazy to say out loud, but it's happening.
This is also a situation that provides one of those fantastic, your team name has no business regarding where you actually are, such as the Los Angeles Lakers that come to mind. Are they going to be the Utah Coyotes?
No, they are not. This is going to be a really complicated deal. And actually, the former owner of the Coyotes is going to maintain a lot of the intellectual property with hopes of bringing the NHL back to Arizona eventually. So this truly is the saga that doesn't end. But Ryan Smith took to X. He's a tech guy. That's what he does. And he was soliciting fans for some suggestions. So we'll see what they end up naming the name. I'm sure you have an opinion. I'd love to hear it.
The intellectual property of the Coyotes just on its own is a hilarious concept. But never mind that. The playoffs are starting. And because our production schedule is what it is, there's certain playoff matchups that need to be sorted out. But just sort of top line, what's on your mind when you think about this year's Stanley Cup playoffs?
You know, Clinton, it's been an unreal regular season for the NHL. So much going on the ice, so much going on off the ice. It has captivated our attention the entire time. We're coming down to the final day of the season where the last two wildcard spots in the East will not be decided. There's five teams legitimately in the mix. That's super exciting. But coming off of last year, I'm biased. I always say the NHL has the most entertaining and unpredictable and intense postseason in all of sports. I stand by that bias. I do unequivocally believe it to be true. And last year was a perfect example because the 8-seed Florida Panthers were the Cinderellas. They knocked out the record-setting Bruins in the first round, made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. And the Panthers are back, but so many other teams are saying, hey, why not us? Why can't we be that team? We just need a ticket to the playoffs and watch us go. And I truly have no idea what that team's going to be. I truly couldn't handicap who the favorites are. And I think that's going to be an unbelievable 2 months of hockey.
It just occurred to me that there might actually be Coyotes in Utah. So technically, the NHL regular season has yet to finish. And a handful of teams are fighting for the last playoff spot in the East. But the true contenders to raise Lord Stanley's Cup have become pretty clear. And with the playoffs officially starting this weekend, we are filled with pressing questions. Is Canada, as a nation, finally poised to end its three-decade title drought amongst its many pro teams? And are the New York Rangers actually for real? Our NHL expert Emily Kaplan is here to tell us what to watch for and why this year's race looks as wide open and unpredictable as ever. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Tuesday, April 16th. This is ESPN Daily. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We have to start here, Emily. It's the thing we turn to every spring. No team in Canada has won a Stanley Cup in 31 years. I like to call it Canadia, but maybe this is the year. Do you agree?
We've been saying this every year, I think, since 1993. So sure, why not? Maybe it is this year. There's several Canadian teams who have a really good shot. Every year, the Maple Leafs have so much noise around them. They have one of the most excruciating droughts, not just in hockey and all of sports. It's now at 55 years. But last year was a really significant year for the Maple Leafs because they also had this drought where they could not get past the first round since 2004. They just couldn't win a playoff series. And they finally exercised those demons. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They ended up losing to the Panthers, but still, that erased a ton of pressure from their stars. Their stars are all locked in. There's not a question of like, what is their core? What are their next contracts? Goaltending is always going to be a question, but maybe just the less noise around the Maple Leafs this year could mean good things for them. I don't know, but they've got a shot. You have the Canucks, who have been one of the surprise teams in the NHL all season. We thought this was a team that was still rebuilding, but they bring in Rick Tocchet. He's been an unbelievable coach for them, led by Quinn Hughes, American-born, brother of Jack and Luke. He's probably going to win the Norris Trophy or finish runner-up. He's so dynamic offensively. Elias Pettersson is probably the best player that most American fans wouldn't be aware of, but should be. So they could be a sleeper team. And then for me, the best chance in Canada actually comes out of Edmonton. And that's because they have the best player in the world and really the best 1-2 punch in the world, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. They've had a roller coaster season, including having to fire their coach by not making the mark earlier in the year and falling flat in a lot of these seismic expectations that we all have for them. But they seem to be finding their groove. And you can never discount Connor McDavid, who's looking for that elusive first Stanley Cup.
Well, let's talk about the Oilers then. I mean, is it a championship or bust situation for them? What's the psyche of this team at? Because, yeah, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have been incredible as the 1-2, but every year that keeps going is another year that they haven't done it. Where are they at now, expectations-wise?
Yeah, I think this is championship season or bust, or maybe Western Conference final appearance or bust for one specific reason, and that's they are so good because of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You know, McDavid gets so many of the headlines. Draisaitl does so many small and big things that drive that team and drive that offense. Well, Leon Draisaitl is entering the final year of his contract next year, and he's up for an extension this summer. And there's some murmurs around the league that say, okay, we know Connor McDavid is committed to Edmonton, but does Leon want to be here long term? He loves Connor. He loves playing with Connor. I think he does love the city of Edmonton. But at some point, enough is enough. And maybe he wants to be the star attraction. So I think that their performance in these playoffs is going to be so crucial in what Leon Draisaitl decides to do for his future. Does he sign on this summer? Does he wait to the beginning of next season to see how it goes? Does he tell Edmonton, you know what? I'd rather test myself in the open market. Thanks for the memory. See ya. And for all of those reasons, I think that their performance this year is one to watch.
Extra drama on the ice. We love to see it. Let's get back to the Leafs real quick, though. Auston Matthews has had a heck of a season. He hit the 60-goal mark. That's something that only 8 other players have done in the history of the league. Can you break down to people why he's so good and what kind of an impact he's going to have for Toronto?
I am an NHL reporter at ESPN, and I feel like it's always my obligation to give this disclaimer to a more general audience. We're talking about a kid born in the desert in Arizona. His mom is from Mexico, and he is the greatest goal scorer in the NHL today and maybe of his generation. One of the big stories we're tracking is Alex Ovechkin, and we all feel it's inevitability that he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's scoring record. Well, I think Auston Matthews is going to challenge Alex Ovechkin by the pace that he's going at. You know, the NHL has released all these advanced stats this year. They've been doing some puck and player tracking. So we know a little bit more about like what goes on the ice. And it's so interesting when you look at Auston Matthews' stats and where he ranks amongst the league. His shot is like 54 percentile in average speed. It's okay. The shot position, the way he skates, it's all mid of the league. But he has a very high shooting percentage. He takes more shots than pretty much anyone in the league. And then it's his release that makes him so, so lethal. It's deceptive. It's quick. He comes right up on the goalie. They have no idea where he's going to go. I can't quite describe it. You have to watch it. It looks different than anybody else. And anytime he has the puck near the net, you know that there's a chance that it's going to go in.
Because humans on this show live in New York, we have to talk about the Rangers. I'm just kidding. But they've made a run to the top of the Eastern Conference. How surprising was this, Emily? Did you see this coming?
Yeah, firstly, everyone always gets on ESPN for talking about the Cowboys so much. Like, everyone always gets on ESPN in the hockey world about talking about the Rangers so much. The Rangers are the Cowboys of hockey.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it. They brought in a new coach, Peter Laviolette, and Peter Laviolette has been around the block. He's coached pretty much the entire Metropolitan Division at this point, and we know who he is. We know what his teams are like. We know that they play a stifling neutral zone, and sometimes it's not super exciting hockey, but he gets a boost out of teams. I didn't expect the boost to be this big because they have a core that has just come close but not quite gotten over the hump. They have a goalie who's unbelievable in Igor Shesterkin. They signed Jonathan Quick as their backup. He might be one of their most important players this year. And that core that I talked about, it's Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, and Artemi Panarin, specifically Panarin, who's an MVP candidate. They flourished this year. And I think in New York right now, it's that perfect combination between the young guys showing up. Alexis Lafreniere was a number one pick with so much expectation on him because he's not Connor McDavid and he's not Austin Matthews, but he's a really good player. This is the first year we've seen him look like he belongs, look confident, look lethal. So these young guys are coming in. Keandre Miller is another great example. The old guys are stepping up. The goaltending's been steady. And there's just some good vibes going on in New York right now. They always say, like, no quit in New York. The team just finds ways to win. And that's what great teams do.
Panarin has the best nickname in all of sports. Please tell America what it is, Emily.
It is the bread man. We love nicknames that center around carbs, don't we?
Absolutely. Matt Rempe's a guy at the center of the Rangers' identity, pun intended. Can you tell people about his style of play? The guy came into the league with a flourish, and I can get off on a whole tangent about fights, but Matt Rempe, he sets the tone, yeah?
Yes and no. You know, this is going to be a really fascinating storyline for fans because he has become a cult hero, and I think he's transcended hockey because of what he's done. He's fighting in nearly every game he's in. He's often getting ejected. The crowd at Madison Square Garden absolutely adores this kid. They roar when he takes a shift. You know, some of his teammates have told me that in the games that he's scratched, they just like feel like they need him because he not only energizes the crowd, but he energizes the bench. But he's a young kid. He's a rookie. And Peter Laviolette has been a coach that often trusts veterans. And I've had a couple Rangers games and we've talked to Lavi and he told us that his plan was to rotate some of these young forwards in the bottom six, you know, throughout the end of the regular season to get them reps in the playoffs. And he told me specifically, Matt Rempe, I want to get him a lot of game actions because I think he can be an impact player in the playoffs. But then after he told me that, he really hasn't played Rempe much. And it seems trending towards a lot of scratches in the playoffs. And I almost wonder if we're not going to see him at all until the point where the Rangers get out physical in a series. And then the Rangers can bring him in as their X factor. So you're going to see this as a storyline of fans clamoring, saying, where's Matt Rempe? Because we love the way he plays. We love the way that he fights. And he's so charismatic. And he just honestly is soaking it all in because he's a really good kid at heart. And he just loves being there. With the cruel reality that this is a meritocracy and playoff hockey is a business. And we often veer towards the grizzled vets, towards the upstart rookies, and we'll see where it goes.
What are the chances this is 1994 all over again?
Like I said off the top, there's just such a deep field that it's hard to handicap any team as the favorite. But I think, especially in the East, the Rangers have as good a chance as anyone. They have the goaltending. Their goaltending might be the best tandem in the league this year in Igor Shesterkin when he stands up and plays at his best and the way that Jonathan Quick has resurrected his career to be an outstanding backup. They have a mix of physical defensemen, offensively gifted defensemen like Adam Fox. They have star players that are showing up. They have depth. Why not them?
Rounding out the East, though. Last year, people were shocked when the Panthers upset the Boston Bruins in the first round. It was like the most unexpected thing that had happened in any playoff format in a long time. Then the Bruins lost David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron. There were a lot of questions about this team coming into the season. What is the ceiling for the Bees?
Such a shocking series last year because remember, the Bruins set the record for the most regular season wins ever. And then the Panthers were the team that literally made the playoffs at the last second. They were the final team in. It came down to the end of the regular season. And you're like, this is the team that went down 3-1. Brad Marchand had a breakaway. He doesn't score. Lo and behold, they win that game in overtime and win the series in 7 games. The Bruins brought back the exact same roster, except for their number one and number two center. And it's not just any number one and number two center. It's future Hall of Famer Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, a franchise legend. And we're all wondering, all right, how is this going to work out? It's absolutely insane, Clinton, but Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle, who have now replaced them as a number one and number two center, have essentially the same production in terms of points and goals. Now, defensively, Patrice Bergeron, gold standard. They're probably going to rename the Selke Trophy after him one day. The leadership, the intangibles, like they're missing some of that, but the culture of the Bruins is so good that it's passed down. And this team, where we all thought they were going to take a step back, are nearly where they were last year. They're still one of the best teams in the league. In that series against the Panthers, the biggest controversy was they have two. Okay, I said the Rangers have the best tandem. I completely lied. It's the Bruins that have the best tandem. It's Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. They're essentially a 1A and 1B. At either time, either of them can be the best goalie in the league. They alternated them all last season. Start. Then they get to the playoffs and completely veer away. And they start Linus Ullmark games 1-6. And then when he struggled, threw in a cold Jeremy Swayman for game 7, and it didn't work out. I've talked to Jim Montgomery, the coach, and he told me he's learned his lessons from last year. And he said, I feel that when a goalie plays every game in the playoffs, there's a mental fatigue to it. And those guys are more comfortable alternating off. They have such a beautiful friendship. They support each other. And our team is more comfortable when we know they're alternating off. So that's going to be the biggest change this year, is that you're going to see them keep that rotation that they've had in the regular season. A lot of teams shorten their bench in the goaltending department at this time of year. And I think that it could be the difference to get them past the first round and even further this year.
Well, what about Los Panteros? I mean, they're trying to prove last year wasn't a fluke. Some of us will be in the building, as we like to say. What do you think they're going to do against the rest of the Eastern Conference?
I think that when the Florida Panthers are at full strength, and there was a stretch a couple weeks ago where they looked like this, they're the meanest, baddest, most talented team in the entire league. Their coach, Paul Maurice, he's a genius. And the style that he asked of these players is very demanding, both physically and mentally, but they've bought in. And when they're in, they're a really pesky and annoying team to play against. As broadcasters, we love their games because they're high event and entertaining. We hate their games because it's like a scrum after every whistle and the refs having to manage the game by throwing guys in the box. It's always a good time, but they've got such a fun, dynamic star in Matthew Tkachuk, who really should be a bigger star here in America. Such a dynamic personality and amazing the way he plays. Their goaltending has been unreal. Sergei Bobrovsky, Bob looks amazing. And they, like the Rangers, have as good a chance as anyone here in the East.
Moving over to the West, though, what happened to Vegas? They barely made the playoffs this year. They were a top seed last season.
Injuries. They weren't just the top seed last year. They won the Stanley Cup. But it always takes a tax on your team when you make it that far, when you're playing that late into June. The list of injuries that they've had, I don't think they've had a full roster all year. It's been crucial guys too. It's Jack Eichel. It's Mark Stone, their captain. It's Shea Theodore. It's been their goaltending. So finally, they're rounding into health. And I know we'll talk about Mark Stone in a bit because that's going to be a really controversial story heading into the playoffs. They also got reinforcements at the trade deadline. And I think now that they're healthy, their power play is looking good, they're kind of gelling at the right time. They should hit stride, even though the West is super competitive.
After the break, a collection of players whose potential return could become a major plot twist. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. So, Emily, heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's a lot of injured players who have a chance to make a return based on how long their teams stay alive. Who are these guys and what kind of impact would their returns have on their squad's chances?
All right. Well, I'll begin with the most straightforward case. It's Mikhail Sergachev. He's an amazing defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Broke his leg in two places. The Lightning will basically need to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or later. A very long run for us to see him. But that would be exciting because he is so important to what they do. And the Lightning hits stride at the end of the regular season. And you can never discount that core. But here are the really tricky and intriguing ones. I mentioned Mark Stone, the Vegas captain, earlier. There's a rule in the NHL about putting a guy in long-term injury reserve. You're able to use his cap space during the regular season. Well, in the playoffs, the salary cap becomes moot and you basically can field as much salary as you can. Mark Stone, for the last three seasons, has been on LTIR towards the end of the season and then magically gets activated day one of the playoffs. When it happens in year one, this year, Mark Stone has been out with what was been described as a lacerated spleen. That's a really scary injury. It's an internal injury. We don't really know what's going on in there. The expectation was he's going to be out at least the first round. We don't know when he's going to be able to come back, but it's going to be a while. But lo and behold, a couple days before the end of the regular season ends, Mark Stone is back there at practice and he hasn't been fully cleared yet, but it certainly looks like he's trending towards playing in the playoffs. And a lot of fans of opposing teams and a lot of opposing teams are going to cry foul and they're going to say cheaters. And this is what makes the Vegas Golden Knights the most villainous and fascinating team in the league.
We need villains.
We need villains, and they lean into it better than anyone. Like, their first year was us against the world. Now it's the world against Vegas, and they love it as much as anyone does, and that's why I love Vegas. Colorado is fascinating because their captain, Gabe Landeskog, has not played in a game since 2 years ago when he was hoisting the cup. He's had chronic knee issues, has gone through so many lengths to try to figure it out, and then last spring got knee cartilage transplant. No NHL player has ever had that surgery, let alone come back from it. The only other guy that we know going through it right now is actually Lonzo Ball in the NBA. We're not going to see Lonzo until next season. They got their surgeries around the same time. But Gabe really wants to come back and is slowly working his way back. That is a storyline to watch 100%. And then lastly, the Rangers. Filip Hedl, 2017 first round pick. He's from Czechia. Last year was a breakout year for him, a career-high 22 goals. But he has concussion issues, and he's only played in 10 games this season. And in January, the Rangers said, Filip Hedl's done for the year. We're going to prioritize his long-term health. You guys aren't going to see him. And we all thought that was going to be true. But behind the scenes, Filip has been working really hard and has been reporting a lot of progress. And that's fascinating because the Rangers went out and got replacements for him. They got Alex Wenberg as their new third-line center. But he's going to give this team some depth, but we're all going to kind of, tense up and just be really cautious and nervous every time he plays because it's his head injuries that we're talking about here. And we want to make sure that he's good for the rest of his life, well-being wise, hockey aside. So that's going to be one that I'm absolutely tracking.
Who are the best two teams that nobody's talking about in the NHL?
I think in the West, it's the Dallas Stars. They're just so deep. They're so good. They have, I think, the best blue line in the league. Guys can do a little bit of everything. Every year, we're always talking about one player who has never won the Stanley Cup, and all the guys want to rally around and win it for them. For the Dallas Stars, it's Joe Pavelski, great American hero from Wisconsin. He's now 39 years old, but he's still got it. Some of the best hand-eye coordination the league has ever seen, the way that he tips pucks in around the net. So I would keep an eye on the Dallas Stars because they are a true legitimate threat. And then in the East, it's the Carolina Hurricanes. They've been a really good team for several years now, but have always stagnated when they get to the playoffs. And one of the biggest issues for them always has been they don't have a lethal scorer. They never have that one guy who can score those clutch goals at the big moments. And they went against their philosophy as an organization and they splurged on a rental. And that's Jake Guentzel, who's the best line mate that Sidney Crosby ever saw. He left Pittsburgh, which was a shocking move at the trade deadline, comes into Carolina and looks like an absolute stud. So I would keep an eye on the Carolina Hurricanes because it just feels like all the momentum they've been building the last several years behind their coach Rod Brind'Amour and his style of play could finally come to fruition this year because they got their guy.
Last thing I'll ask you, Em, I know you can't rank the teams, but rank the teams in terms of probability of who you think can take home Lord Stanley's Cup.
I like this. Like, it's always like, oh, who's your Stanley Cup final? Who's your pick? But yeah, let's give a little nuance to it right now, hey? As I sit here and record this, the West is really strong, and I do feel like the best team in the West right now is the Dallas Stars. So they might be my favorite as we head into the playoffs here. There's so many teams in the West that have a chance to win, though. I would put Colorado, Vegas, and Edmonton right at that mid-tier, right below Dallas. I wouldn't discount the Canucks or the Jets, but those are kind of the teams and where I see them fitting in. As for the East, I think the Rangers have to be the favorite. For so much of the season, they have been the number one team in the league, so you can't stray away from them. But right below them is the Bruins and the Panthers at 1A, 1B. Both of those teams, if they're clicking, they have enough vets, they have enough experience. Why not them? And the Carolina Hurricanes, again, they're really damn good. They're right there with the Bruins and Panthers as well.
Thank you, Emily.
It is always my pleasure, Clinton. And as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
The NHL regular season will conclude on Thursday night, and first round playoff matchups get underway on Saturday and Sunday. Zero rest for the weary. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.